11. We'll get right into it this morning because I want to finish this section off. I know I take a little more lengthy time than I probably should on some of these. But this is a principle that I think the majority of you know. But it's a principle that Paul really hit hard, that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And man is the head of woman, because that's the roles that we have to fill. That is what creates the harmony in the world. You say, Pastor, why did Paul spend so much time? Well, Paul spent so much time on that in Corinth because it was a real issue, a real problem. And so I could have just went over this, but you know what? I can see if we do not have this principle in our minds, the way the world's changing and the way the world's moving with some things out there, with the feminist movement, with transgender, and all the things that are taking place out there. I'm going to tell you, if we don't understand this principle, I mean, understand it truly, it's going to make its way into the church, and the churches are going to become what the world is. See, that's what was happening in Corinth. They were bringing that stuff into the church. And again, now the church had only been established for a couple years. Those were all probably, or the majority of them, were first-generation Christians who had been through an awful lot. And there was a lot of, the women were wrongly treated in Corinth. I would be the first to admit that. And so I understand why there was a feminist movement, but Paul said it may be necessary in the world, but it's not necessary in the church, because God looks at all people as equal. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what sex you are. It doesn't matter. Everybody's equal in God's eyes. You're born again children of God. And so we have to understand this principle. That's why, because God is the head of Christ. He set the example. Christ, as he came, it was his goal in life to do, or in mind, as he came to this earth, to do the will of his Father. He said that at least six different times. Even in that Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." Even though he knew it was the cross, even though he knew it was going to be God turning his back upon him and pouring the wrath upon him, Jesus knew, but he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." God is the head of Christ. Yet Christ is the head of man. And we must live to obey him and to seek him. And men need to be the leaders of their homes. They need to be leaders, but not just leaders, but leaders in a godly fashion, in a godly way. But then the last principle is that man is the headship of woman. We've got to get this down, not any less, but you've got to have this in your mind. Otherwise, these things are going to begin to creep into the church. So Paul gives the principle. Then he applied it. He applied it in verses 5 and 6, or 4, 5, and 6. Really, he applied the principle, and it was a custom of that day for head covering, so he used that. And he said, men aren't supposed to be covered when they pray and prophesy. Their heads are to be uncovered. They had battles with the Jews and the different things that were going on. But for the women to pray and prophesy, their heads need to be covered. Now, in Corinth, the custom of the day was a veil that was placed on. It's not us. It's not us today. That isn't our custom in America. But Paul's going to close out today with some practical principles. But he applied the principle. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. Because that's the roles. That's what brings harmony. And so in verses 11 and 12, that's what we get to. Here's the harmony that following this principle gets. And nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. You know, lest men abuse their authority over women, and that's not the purpose. A man is the headship of Christ, or of woman. That it's not to abuse the authority, because Paul here reminds us of the equality and the mutual dependence upon each other. Man's authority over woman is a delegated authority, and it's a derived authority given by God to be used to fulfill his purpose and his plan for our lives. Man, as a fellow creature, has no superiority to woman and no right to use their authority tyrannically or selfishly or demanding. That's not the purpose. Male chauvinism and feminism are both perversions of God's plan. So we must understand that far from oppressing women, the church has been the greatest liberator. And we talked about this. The church put everybody on the same level. There's not, nobody's greater than anybody else. Even Paul reminds us that God gives grace. There's some folks who are lesser than other people, maybe in their minds or in their physical makeup, but God gives grace to them so everybody's on the same level because God sees us all as his children. That's the way we need to see it. But in Roman and Greek societies, women were little more than slaves. They were possessions of their husbands and often virtually bought and traded their wives who bought and traded their wives at will. And it was largely because of this treatment that the women of that day formed the feminist movement in the Roman Empire. Even in the Jewish community, the situation was not much better, for divorce had become easy and commonplace, but it was almost entirely the prerogative of the man. The man was in complete control. And some Jewish men held women in such low esteem that they developed a popular prayer in which they thanked God they were not born a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. But in Christ, all believers, whether male or female, are in the Lord. In his work, women are as important as men. Now, their roles are going to be different. Their function and relationships will be different, but not in spirituality and importance. Men and women are complementary in every way of life. That's why this church couldn't function without women. The homes couldn't function without the wife being the godly person he is, but it can't function without the man being the godly man he is properly. And so we see that the roles are different, but the function it creates that harmony that we need in the church, that we need in our home, that we need in the world. Again, men and women are complementary in every way of life, but particularly in the Lord's work today, they can function together divinely. They serve each other as they serve with each other. Christ made all believers, whether male or female, in the Lord, that they're his workmen. And women are as important as men. And from the earliest history of God's people, women have had a vital role. We talked about this. They've had a vital role in the church. Mission fields would not exist today if it were not for godly women. A strong church without godly women cannot be strong and effective. And so the proper authority does not make him independent of the woman, the man independent of the woman, nor does her proper subordination make her dependent. Neither is it independent of each other, but we become mutually dependent upon each other. Again, Paul reminds us that the woman was created from the man, but since that time, every man has been created through a woman. Men and women have different roles, but not different importance. Women are equal to men in the world and in the church and before God. That is that is God's wise and gracious harmony and balance that we see in Christian homes and the church and could be in the world. You know, again, women have a unique and indispensable role in training and developing boys who are men in the making. And from conception to adulthood, a man is dependent upon and shaped by his mother in a unique and marvelous way. So I'm trying to show you the importance. That's what creates the harmony when we do it God's way. But when women want to control, women want to run things and usurp the authority and not be subordinate and submission, it gets it out of order. But if man isn't going to be the leader in the home and man isn't going to be what he needs to be, the roles are not being accomplished. But when God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman, the headship of woman, then there's harmony. And that's what Paul says. You work together to create the bond and the harmony that's in our world today. Now, here's what I want to get to. The last point is Paul just gives us some practical concluding thoughts on this principle. Again, and he takes us now from just the veil that was customary in Corinth. And he opens it up to really the world. and the principle behind it. And he gives us some practical. So he says this in verse 13, judging yourselves. He said, you answer this question. I think that's a good way to do it. You answer this question. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? What do you think, he said? Is it ungodly for a woman to pray to God, pray and prophesy with her head uncovered? He said, judge yourself. You answer that question. Because I'm going to tell you from a practical standpoint, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. That's the idea Paul sets forth, because we don't have the custom of wearing a veil. So the principle of authority and subordination is not only given by God in divine revelation. That's the principle, he said. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the headship of woman. Not only is it given to us in divine revelation, but even creation itself identifies this. The cultural practice of a woman's covering her head as a symbol of subordination to man is a reflection of the natural order that God has given in the world today. That's why Paul says, doesn't even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? You see, men and women have distinctive physiology. They're different. God has created us different with different things about us. And in many ways, and one of them is in the process of hair growth on their head. Now, I'm not going to give you a formula that create hair growth for you men. But here's what God said. This is what he said. This is what we know to be true. The process of hair growth on the head, hair develops in three stages. There's the formation and growth. There's the resting. And then there's the fallout. Some of us go through that fallout a little earlier than others do. But that's the three stages. The formation and growth of hair, then the resting, and then the fallout. Now, in the male, which God has created different than the woman, the hormone, testosterone, speeds up the cycle so that men reach the third stage earlier than women do. And the female hormone, estrogen, causes the cycle to remain in the stage for a longer time. Now, Paul knew that. That's nature. That's just the way we've been created. And so this stage causes the women's hair to grow longer than men's. That's why women are rarely bald, and it's very unique to see that, because few even reach the stage three, which is the fallout stage for women. But men, you live long enough, most of you are going to hit that stage because of how we're made up. This physiology is reflected in most cultures and of the world in the custom of a woman's wearing longer hair than men. So Paul says let's get away from the custom of Corinth. Let's just go to nature. Doesn't nature even teach you that a man should not have long hair? A man shouldn't have his hair go to pray and prophesy with his head covered. He should have shorter hair. Now not only does it mean in praying and prophesying, but it matters in distinction. He said, I've made men differently. They're not going to have, again, a man is capable. Some men are capable of growing long hair. But that's not the typical. That's not the way God, and there's always exceptions to the rule. But most women are very capable of growing long hair because of the makeup of women, and the makeup of men were different. Paul says, doesn't even nature teach you? Nature lets us know that a man praying or prophesying with his head is to be uncovered or short hair. And a woman, when she prays and prophesies, is to have longer hair or a covering. Now we're getting down to the basis of what we're talking about here. And again, it isn't, I'm not here to preach on the length of hair. That's not my purpose. But Paul even said this. He said, doesn't even nature, and I want you to see it from a natural standpoint, that what Paul is saying is true, that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. And the Bible says that comes through the Holy Spirit, to have harmony. And as we apply those principles, it creates harmony in the world, in the church, and in the home. But Paul said, Paul knew he was going to get some arguments here. And so he opened it up beyond the veil that was in Corinth and said, doesn't even nature teach you just the simple fact, the way man is made up, that a man's going to have short hair, shorter than a woman? Now, part of that is distinction. It's part of it is a man's look like a man and a woman's look like a woman. And the short hair versus long hair creates a distinction. Now, there's many other things that create a distinction, but hair is one of them. But Paul applies it and said it's just natural that a man praying or prophesying, a man should have shorter hair than a woman. But a woman, her hair is the glory of the Lord. And that's why God gave her the ability to grow longer hair. Not only for distinction, but for that godliness that it represents. You see, nature tells us, gives us the idea of instinct, a sense of what is right and wrong. We can see it even nature. But then Paul goes a little bit beyond that to human consciousness. He's saying that if a man looks around and recognizes, but for rare exceptions, both in nature and human instinct, the what goes on in your conscience, that it's proper for a woman's hair to be longer than a man. That's just conscience. It's nature. It's just out there. That's what we should see. You know, if a man wanted to become a woman, just outwardly, you know what he'll do? He'll put on a dress. Why? Because that identifies him more with a woman. Now, I'm not here to say that a woman has to wear a dress all the time. No, I'm not saying that. But if a man wants to become like a woman, there's two things he does. He puts on a dress and puts on long hair. That's why when we used to do this, I don't know why, but we'd imitate the cheerleaders would go out and play basketball in a assembly, and the basketball players would put on a wig and a cheerleading skirt and go out there and lead cheers. Now, we were completely horrible. But that's what we did. We put on a skirt, and we all brought a wig and put on wig. Why? Because we wanted to identify. So Paul's saying even in nature, because of your buildup, your physiology, a man's going to have most times shorter hair than women have. It's that distinction that's there. And if a man wants to look like a woman, he's going to put on a dress because that's going to identify him with the woman. See, Paul says even the conscience knows that. But Paul says the beautifully dressed hair is the glory to a woman. It is God's special gift to show the softness and tenderness of a woman. See, a woman's hair is given to her for a covering. Her hair is her natural covering or veil. Again, both nature and general custom, as well as the conscience, reflects God's universal principle of a man's role of authority and the woman's role of subordination. That's the idea. Paul says, not only did the Holy Spirit give that to me to give to you, but if you're honest, even nature, the physiology of the way man is made and woman is made, men are typically going to have shorter hair than women. The uncovered and the covered. And even conscience says that there's just some things a woman will do that men aren't going to do because there's a distinction, there's a difference in our makeup. Paul said this all reflects that. But you know what? There's an Old Testament example that I've never understood before, and maybe some of you are very much smarter than I am, but a Nazarite vow. There's some Nazarites, and the most famous Nazarite who you would know would be who, probably? Samson. Okay? John the Baptist was a Nazarite. But Samson's the one when I think about a Nazarite, I think about him. But there were some requirements for a Nazarite. They were given to God. They couldn't have any alcohol. They couldn't touch a dead body at all. And they were not to cut their hair. That's one thing I don't understand. I'll get you later. That's the thing I didn't understand. I mean, why couldn't a Nazarite cut his hair? I didn't. Now we know this, or you should know this anyway, that Samson's strength wasn't in his hair. It was, his strength was that he was a Nazirite and the Spirit of God came on him and gave him the strength. So when he had Delilah cut his hair, he didn't lose his strength because his hair was gone. He lost his strength because he disobeyed God. And then when he pulled the temple down, his hair had grown back, and God, the Spirit of God came upon him. So his strength wasn't in his hair, but his strength was that he was a Nazirite called of God. So why the long hair? Well, even in that time, long hair, you have to go back to this, it was considered shameful. In modern cultures, you know, again, wearing a hat, or let me finish this. Even at that time, long hair was considered a shame to man. And so the idea was that a Nazirite was willing to bear shame for God's name. That's why he had long hair. He was criticized for his long hair. At times, he was made fun of for his long hair, but because he was a Nazirite, he was willing to share the shame for God's name. Now, we don't have Nazirite vows today. That was in the biblical times and in God's calling and in calling John the Baptist as the last one I know that took a Nazirite vow. He lived in the wilderness and he probably had longer hair, but not because he was being rebellious, because that was a command of God for him because he was a Nazirite. And he wasn't to cut his hair, and he was willing to bear the shame of having longer hair because he was a Nazirite sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ. So now that makes sense to me. Why it was they did not cut the hair. It wasn't because that was going to become a fad of the day. It wasn't because they were rebellious heart. It was they were willing to bear the shame of long hair for the cause of Jesus Christ. So a woman's hair and a woman's dress should be distinctly feminine, demonstrating her womanly loveliness and submissiveness. See, that's what Paul's trying to get here as he closes this. He says, nature teaches you that, your conscience teaches you that, that a woman is supposed to be distinct from a man. A woman is supposed to be that, have that loveliness and that submissiveness. Not that manliness. But there should be no confusion about a male or female identities, because God has made both the sexes distinct in physiologically, in roles, and in relationships. So he says there needs to be that distinction, and that's what we talk about here. We don't have set rules in dress that a woman has to come in and wear a dress, because a woman could be in slacks and look like a woman. But the key is in Paul's, and you'll see this in just a second, Paul's not saying it's a bunch of rules. It's what's in their heart. But there needs to be a distinction. You know, if a woman wants to look like a man, she's got the wrong idea. Paul said that's not the right heart attitude. A woman should look like a woman. They should be distinct in their dress. They should be distinct in their modesty. They should be distinct in their hair. You should be able to look at a woman and say, that is a precious woman, a submissive woman, a godly woman. That's what Paul wants. But the man needs to be the leader. He needs to take the leadership in the home and in the church, but submissive to Christ and have a godliness about them and a presence about them. But a man is to look like a man and a woman is to look like a woman. That's what Paul is trying to get across here. Now, it's true, Paul talked about our liberties in Christ. So it's not the length of the hair that is really so much the issue, but the motive behind it. So Paul, look at what Paul says, and I'll close with this. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, I'm going to try to explain that verse 16 to you. Paul says, but if any man seem to be contentious, he knew he was going to get a battle in the Corinthian church. And this message right here is going to get a battle out in the world. I hope it's not a battle at Faith Baptist Church. But it's going to get a battle out in the world. Because women are going to say you treat women horribly. No, absolutely not. But women have a role to fulfill, to create the harmony in the home and in the church and in this world. And so you have a role, a function to accomplish. And there has to be distinction, and that's what the world doesn't want. They're taking away that distinction out in the world, in our schools and different things. They're teaching so many bizarre things to me. But the bottom line is a man and a woman is a woman. A man's to look like a man and a woman's to look like a woman. But Paul said, I'm concerned because there seems, if any man seem to be contentious, he said, I know I'm going to get some backlash on this because that's the human nature. I'm going to get some backlash on this. But this is what he says. Many men wear long hair, or some do. They're longer hair, but why do they wear the longer hair? I think the majority is just simply rebellion. They have longer hair. We're not to have a covering. There's supposed to be a distinction. Well, so why do men let their hair grow long? I think it's just a rebellious heart. Now, I'm not saying they're wicked, but they're a rebellious heart. They're saying, I'm going to live the way I want to live, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody, especially that preacher, or nobody's going to tell me the length of my hair. Well, I'm not going to tell you the length of your hair. But that's the wrong motive for having long hair. That's the wrong motive behind what you do. You see, Paul knew that that's what people were going to say. There's some of you are going to be contentious. And so Paul says this. He said, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He said, I'm not going to put a rule. Do you remember back about 30 years ago, 40 years ago? This was big. That churches, fundamental churches as a whole, began to say, if your hair goes over your ear, that's long hair. You can't be on the platform. You can't do different things. Paul said, I'm not going to set that. I'm not going to set rules for the church. Because it's not how you just look, but it's what's in your heart. It's what you have in your heart. See, you could, you know what, our Christian schools, and trust me, I've been involved in Christian schools most of my life, most of my pastoral life as an assistant pastor. I was in the Christian school. I was a principal in the Christian school. I taught in a Christian school. And here's what would happen. The majority of kids, and I'm not saying all kids, but the majority, more than probably 75 to 80% would come and they would abide by the rules. Because we had dress standards. We had hair standards. That the hair had to be a certain length because we wanted the men to look like men and the girls to look like girls. And so there were certain standards that girls had to wear certain things and boys had to wear certain things. But you know what? The kids did it because they had to do it. Now, a lot of them went to uniform. And the school that I came from went to uniforms, and they wear uniforms. And the parents do it and tell the kids they've got to do it because if you don't do it, you can't be in the school. So they conform to the rules. But you know what? Their hearts never conformed. Their hearts never conformed. Because during the summer, I'd see them during the summer, and all the boys would have long hair. And the girls would wear things that were very immodest, and they shouldn't have been wearing. Boys went to church and dressed like, they dressed like slobs. They really did. See, as long as the rule was, we'll obey the rule. But Paul's saying, I'm not going to put any rule in the church of hair length. I'm going to tell you what is long or what is short. I'm not going to tell you, ladies, what is long hair and what is short hair. I'm just going to give you what the Holy Spirit gave me, that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the church. And you have a certain function and a certain role. And doesn't even nature teach you that probably men should... It's a shame for man to have long hair because of your physiology, the way you're made up. But the same is true. The woman, the glory of her head is the hair. God has made us that way. And even our conscience says that There should be a distinction. Men should look like men and women should look like women. But he said, I'm not going to make a rule because I don't want you to just to conform to a rule. I want this to be what's in your heart. I want this to be that I want to follow God's principle for my life. I want to be what God wants me to be. So Paul said, if you come to the apostles now, you're not going to get any sympathy from the apostles because we're all on the same page. In the churches I've established, you're not going to get any sympathy from the churches I've established because I've already laid this groundwork with them. But he said, I'm not going to make a rule. I'm not going to set rules of hair length for you to come to Faith Baptist Church or of dress for Faith Baptist Church. That would be ridiculous to do that because God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So what's your heart say? When you came this morning, did you come to glorify God? It doesn't matter, ladies, if you're in a dress or pants. Did you dress for distinction? Did you dress for modesty? Did you dress to bring honor and glory to God? That should be your heartbeat. That should be your desire. That the way I look is but I just simply want to bring attention to God, not attention to myself. Men, when you came this morning, was it for your purpose? To have people tell you how wonderful you are, how great you are? Or was it to glorify God in what you do? See, that's what Paul's trying to get. He said, here's the principle. Here's the principle you've got to gather. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And man is the head of woman. Not in superiority, inferiority, but for harmony, for functionality, for the role. Nature teaches you it. Even your conscience, the man's conscience tells us that there needs to be a distinction in a role. And that men should have shorter hair than women. It's just the way we're made up. But Paul said it, I'm not going to set a rule. I'm not going to say your hair's got to be above your ears, men. I'm not going to say, ladies, your hair has to be long because some ladies look nice in shorter hair. I'm not trying to tell you how you need to dress. That's what Paul's saying. I'm not telling you how to do it, but are you applying the principles from God's word? Modesty. Distinction. Headship. And if you'll take those principles and you'll apply them to your life, then you know what? These things aren't going to be an issue. There may be a man who has a little bit longer hair than other men do. But we look at your heart. We see your heart. Now, if it gets to the point where you begin to, it's hard to identify you from the back if you're a man or a woman, then that's where it becomes a little bit of a problem because you've lost the distinction. But there's no set standard of dress for you ladies. The ladies that come here are just wonderful. And you know what? I haven't had to deal with a modesty issue with you ladies. And I appreciate that. Because I think deep down, your heart's right with God. And you want to honor him. So this principle, well, bless God, man is the head of woman. I'm all against that. But what's in your heart? See, God isn't doing it to make women inferior to men. He's doing it so we can have functionality in the church and harmony in the home. And if we'll fulfill the roles that God has set forth, there will be that harmony. There will be that functionality. There'll be that peace and that joy. But again, Paul says nature. He says even your conscience. But it boils down to this. What's in your heart? Because if your heart is right, these things aren't a problem. If your heart is right with God, there's not going to be any, you're not going to be angry with me by saying that it's a shame for man to have long hair, not have that distinction. If your heart is right with God, even nature teaches that. The conscience teaches that. You're not going to get angry at me when I preach the truth of God's word because your heart's right. But you know what the one who will get angry at the preacher? Get angry at the Bible? is the one whose heart is not right with God. That's why you see some of those crowds out there. They're angry people. They hate Christianity. Especially fundamentalism. Especially those who have rules. Why? Because they don't see it from God's heart. They don't see it from God's perspective. So, again, I'm going to close my Bible and just tell you this. It's not rules that makes Faith Baptist Church. It's your heart. It's not that we follow all the rules that the pastor wants us to, what to wear and how to look and how to dress. Absolutely not. I have no rules whatsoever. I'm just thrilled you're here. But what tells God, what's the telltale is, what's in your heart. Because if you go home here and say that preacher's all washed up, you can say that. I'm just telling you what Paul said from the Holy Spirit, from the Bible. What's in your heart this morning? I'm not going to come back to this because he leaves and next week he begins another topic, the Lord's Supper. We have the Lord's Supper this afternoon. And Paul, I'm going to give you a description of why they were having so many problems at the Lord's Supper. It was called the Love Feast, and it was desecrating. That's why God, in his Lord's Supper, said, many are weak and sickly, and many die, many sleep. Because he had to deal with the wickedness. And so Paul says, I'm going on to the next topic. The next thing you have to take a look at is how you approach the Lord's table. So we'll begin that next week. But are you getting the principle? Woman is not inferior to man, and man's not superior to woman. We're all children of God, designed with a purpose, but we're made up differently. And God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man. And man is that of woman. There's got to be authority. There's got to be submission in order to have harmony. Nature teaches you it. Your conscience will teach you it. If you'll just listen. We don't need rules. We don't need certain dress standards. You just be what God wants you to be. And Faith Baptist Church will be what God wants us all to be for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the heartbeat of Pastor Paul. He was worried that there was going to be contentions, that people were going to fight him and people were going to be angry and upset. But he said, this is just simply God's plan. And Paul had to present the truth because without it, there won't be harmony and there won't be peace. We all have a role and a function to fulfill. And if we'll do our role, God will bless in an amazing way. It's not even the length of the hair. It's not even the dress or pants. That's not the issue. Paul says the issue is the heart. And when our hearts are right with God, nature even teaches us how we're to respond. Our conscience will teach us how we're to live. And God's word will teach us if we'll just simply obey. And so God, help us to be obedient people. I want to protect Faith Baptist Church from all the things in the world that are trying to creep into the church today. I want to protect it because that's not God's plan. God's principle is Christ is, or God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. God, use that principle to fashion us, to mold us, to make us what we need to be for the glory of Jesus Christ. We give you honor and glory.